Okay, here we go. Game day again for the Toronto Maple Leafs. 7 o'clock Eastern at the Bell MTS Place. It is the Toronto Maple Leafs, the top team in the Scotia North Division, being chased by their opponent tonight, the Winnipeg Jets. Only 4 points separating these two teams. Brian McClellan, Washington Capitals general manager, drops by at the bottom of the hour. Sean Reynolds, Sportsnet Winnipeg Jets reporter, will be here in about 10 or 15 minutes' time. We'll get you covered off and all set for tonight's Winnipeg-Toronto matchup. Justin Bourne, Anthony Stewart, good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of notes here really quick, and then we'll get into both sides of the game tonight, the Leafs and the Winnipeg Jets. Leafs just getting on the ice moments ago. Jack Campbell in the starters' nets on the ice. Yes, Nick Foligno is there. Stefan Nason on the ice. Ben Hutton and Ilya Mikheyev as well is on the ice. So the Leafs inching back to health and welcoming in some new faces, to which Justin Bourne says what, Borney?
I say great. Let's see what we got, kids, you know? Finish the trade deadline and everyone's out of quarantine, and this is a bit of an experimental time. You know, we've seen a little bit of Adam Brooks, 2 goals in 3 career games, not too shabby. But yeah, good to see what where everyone's going to slot in initially, and just give them a taste of life with the Leafs and see how their debuts go.
Stewie, what do you think?
Yeah, you get to take a look at the new boys, but I think they need an injection of some new bodies in there just yes, just to get, create that competition. I think that's what kept the Leafs sharp the first couple months of the season, because they had guys coming in and out of the lineup. You knew if you had a couple bad games that there's going to be other guys chomping at the bit too. So it's good to see that Foligno's coming now. Nason's going to, you know, provide an opportunity to push some guys too, because some guys have been resting on their laurels the last couple weeks. And with this increased competition, I think it's overall going to make the Maple Leafs a more competitive and better team.
So, I mean, you guys have been in these positions before. You're the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nick Foligno is on the ice for the first time. Nick Foligno is a veteran in the NHL, was captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets, comes in, second-generation hockey player. We all know the stories of his dad, who played for the Maple Leafs, amongst other teams in the NHL, of course, Mike Foligno. So what happens today with Nick Foligno from everybody around him? Stewie, we'll start with you. Like, you have the new guy coming in. He's not a rookie. He's a veteran. What happens?
Well, everyone says hello. They extend their pleasantries, but then you just get back to work. It's just like a new guy coming in at the office. You know, you welcome them and you show them around. But again, he's a veteran guy. It's not like he's a rookie that's coming into the league. He knows exactly what he needs to do. He knows his role. He's a veteran guy. He's a hard-nosed guy. And what usually can be difficult now is when you're coming to a new team, you don't really know your role. You don't really know where you're going to slot. But he knew since they, you know, traded for him at the deadline, that he was going to come in and play a specific role. So that makes it a lot easier. You're coming in, you know who your line mates are going to be, you're going to know where you're playing. It makes the transition a lot easier for him to ease in with this group.
What's one thing that stands out to me about being like in a new dressing room or having a new guy is like, a dressing room is a bit of a washing machine. Like, everyone, you're going to get to know everyone whether you like it or not. And so there's not a lot of pressure when you first meet people to make good impressions or to get to know them or to show them, like, the time of day. You're going to get to know one another. Your lives cannot go without crossing paths. So it's weird being the new guy at first, because, you know, you say hellos with everyone and then everyone just kind of goes off and does their thing. And, you know, you get to know people slowly and over time. So I'm sure everyone's giving Foligno a nice welcome and all that. But yeah, it's a little bit weird. You don't have relationships, but everyone's friendly. It's kind of a weird start.
From the
You said washing machine. That's a pleasant smell. It smells more like a gym locker.
Stinks in the dressing room. That's a good point.
From Foligno's point of view, and listen, we're going to be as guilty of this as anybody else on our coverage. Like, I'm sure in the first intermission, it's going to be, so what did we think of Nick Foligno after 20 minutes of play, after 40 minutes of play? One of the game stories is going to be, how does Nick Foligno fit with this with this team? I think if you're younger, you try to go out and do something. I think if you're a younger hockey player, you go out and get on the game sheet, you know, do something. You're scoring, you're setting up a play, it's a hit, it's a fight, it's something. I don't know that Nick Foligno does that. You know, here's a guy in his early 30s, been around the NHL, played on a couple of different teams now. As I just mentioned, captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets. I don't know that Nick Foligno is going to go out there tonight, despite the fact that many may expect it, and do something just to stand out. Is that fair, Justin?
Yeah, I think he's proven himself, and everyone knows who he is and what he does at this point. I don't think he needs to go out there and give an immediate demonstration of that. So I can know that's going to happen. You're right. Like, after the first period, we're going to see a highlight pack that's him, like, battling for and losing a puck battle because it was, like, the only time he was around the puck during 4 minutes of ice time. Like, we'll be desperate for moments because, he's not a flashy player, and so don't expect flash in the first appearance.
What do you think, Stewie?
Well, it looks like he's slotting with Matthews and Marner right now. That's from Omar on Twitter, so I'm not sure how legit that is. But with him, he just got to keep it simple and go to that. I don't think he's going to be coming over the top ropes at the start of a period to go start a fight. That's not really his game anymore. He's a tough guy that gets to the net, goes into the corners, dig pucks out. So he's like almost like a Zach Hyman, probably not as quick or fleet as foot. But, you know, I think the Leaf fans are going to appreciate his game, not just for his numbers, but what he creates for his teammates and his linemates as well.
Having said that, so what's the expectation? Like, he's brought in to do, like, we had this conversation about whether it was more prudent for Kyle Dubas to try to get someone like Taylor Hall or someone like Nick Foligno. And part of the conversation was, well, you have more players that do things similar to what Taylor Hall does and not enough players, Justin, that do things that Nick Foligno does on this roster. So the wiser choice is go after the Blue Jacket instead of the Sabre. What are the expectations of Nick Foligno? What does he have to do here?
Yeah, well, I think you want to see a guy busy around the blue paint and busy in the corners. Like, it's not necessarily where Mitch Marner lives, and it's not necessarily where Austin Matthews lives, but that's good because you want spacing on the ice and you want guys in different places. You know, you often hear about talented lines, like there's only one puck, and not everyone can do the same thing. It doesn't necessarily work when you get those guys together. And that's why Hyman is such a valuable piece of this team. There's so many offensive talents that he's someone who does something differently. They're hoping that Foligno can be that for another line, someone who plays in different parts of the rink so everyone can excel at what they do best.
What do you think, Stu?
Well, he's almost like a Swiss Army knife, and that's why I think the Leafs got him, because if you come in and you get a guy like Taylor Hall, if he's not scoring goals, what else are you doing? And with this lineup, you don't really need goals. You got Matthews and Tavares and our friend Willie Nylander there as well. So when you got a guy that can slot in center, go left, kill penalties, get in front of the net on the power play, that's what this lineup needs too. But what I like is it's going to be a lot easier to do his role than some of these other guys at the deadline, where the pressure is going to come in saying, hey, you know what, I got to come in and run numbers. I think Foligno, if he decides he's playing next year, he's only 33 years old, he's already earned his contract. He doesn't have to come in and kill it where some other guys, they have to come in solely for the purpose of running numbers, worrying about their next deal.
Gotcha. Okay, more from the Maple Leaf side in a couple of moments. Meantime, Sean Reynolds joins us from Winnipeg, covering the Jets for Sportsnet. Sean, first of all, good afternoon. Thanks so much for stopping by. This is an interesting Winnipeg Jets team. And at the beginning of the season, we all said, you know, they might be the wild card in the Scotia North. We don't know how they're going to perform. We know their top six is real good, but after that, and the goaltender is all world, but after that, there are significant question marks. We'll open up this way. As the Winnipeg Jets find themselves with one game in hand over the Maple Leafs and 4 points separating these two teams, are the Winnipeg Jets, Sean, where you thought they'd be at this point?
For me, they're ahead of where I thought they would be. If we're talking about at the beginning of the season. Now,
yeah,
it wasn't that long, you know, into the season that you kind of got an idea that they were going to be able to pull this off. I mean, I still take a look at this defense corps, and I think it's their weakness. I think everybody would take a look at it and think that. The question was, were they going to be able to find a way to, you know, erase or overcome or maybe hide that weakness? And I think they've done a good job hiding it. I think, you know, they came into it, they made it clear in training camp that they were going to be playing a specific style of game where the forwards were going to take on a lot of the defensive responsibility and kind of sacrifice offense in an effort to, you know, erase or at least hide what was going on the back end. And I think they've done that really well. And I think throughout the season, you'll see some cracks every once in a while where they'll break down that part of that game. They get exposed, and then we start to see, you know, traces of that team we saw from last season that just allow, you know, a ridiculous amount of shots and a ridiculous amount of high danger chances. But again, they always have, like you said, Connor Hellebuck who's the greater racer when it comes to all of that. So, yeah, I have them ahead of where I thought they'd be. I thought they were going to make the playoffs, but I thought they'd probably be doing it in fourth place and maybe in a battle for that fourth place spot. But right here in a battle for first place is definitely ahead of where I expected them to be.
Stewie.
Jeff is a big fan of Nick Ehlers, and he's gone as far to say that he should probably be an MVP candidate. I think it's a bit of a stretch, but he's having an amazing season, 45 points in 45 games. How important has he been to this Jets team?
Well, MVP candidate in the league, I wouldn't have him there, but I have said from early in the season, I think he's the team's MVP so far this year. The interesting part about Nick Ehlers is they've really pulled out the line blender this year, trying to find things that work. And wherever you put Nick Ehlers, it works. And I do think one of the impressive things we've seen from him in his production this season is that there's been a lot of times that he's found himself in a really good situation that's worked for him, and his line has been split up to get the likes of Blake Wheeler going or Mark Scheifele going. So really, the coach has not been, in my mind, coaching this team to the benefit of Nick Ehlers, and Nick Ehlers just figures it out either way. We're seeing him hit another level this year, and what I think is important is last year going into the playoffs, there was still a big question mark about whether or not he was the kind of player who could get it done in the playoffs. And he had, you know, I know the Jets got bounced early last year, but he showed in that short four games against the Calgary Flames that he seemed to have found his playoff legs. He looks like he's carried that into this season. He's the kind of guy who scores big goals at the right time. We've seen him do that against Toronto earlier this year. He just seems to be able to play in all different situations. He's got a toughness angle that you wouldn't expect from a guy who looks like he's about 170 pounds soaking wet. So, I mean, MVP of this team, he'd have my vote if they were voting on that.
Sean, one of the things we're interested here in Toronto is Nick Foligno's first appearance after the trade deadline, which brings me to the Winnipeg Jets and Pierre-Luc Dubois, you know, their big ad this season in their trade. How has it worked out so far for the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, he's been an interesting one because the fans seem to be really polarized on him. I mean, I think on one hand, the second-line center position has been this gaping hole in the Jets lineup for years. So I think the only way people were going to accept losing Patrick Laine, whom they loved in this market, is if they solved that position. And so some people could stomach it if that was going to happen, but I think a lot of other people expected him to come here and with the talent that he was surrounded by, you know, basically replace the points that Patrick Laine was going to put up. And I just don't see him as being that kind of player. If we're talking about who the best outright offensive player is in that trade, I know he hasn't been doing well in Columbus. That's a team situation. But Patrick Laine is that guy. Now, you get a more complete game from Pierre-Luc Dubois. I know your listeners in Toronto know what he did to Toronto last year in the playoffs. He has those capabilities. But to me, he really hasn't found his groove here in Winnipeg. It seems to me that he's played his best hockey on the wing with players like, you know, Blake Wheeler or Mark Scheifele. And I don't think that's a terrible thing. Fans seem to get upset if you suggest, you know, keeping him on the wing for an extended period of time because, again, they want him to be that solution at the second-line center. But he's the youngest player on this Winnipeg Jets team right now. I mean, there's lots of time to figure him out. You've got Paul Stastny, who is, you know, a phenomenal center who he could be learning from. I don't mind when they use him on the wing here in Winnipeg. I think there's plenty of talent in this lineup. If you use him there and gave him some spots to you know, have a little less responsibility, to, you know, jack up the points because he's playing with really good players all around him, I think that would be a good thing. But that said, he's clearly a horse. He's strong as hell. The future is bright for him here in Winnipeg.
The return of Blake Wheeler, six games out of the lineup, and that is not someone, Sean, that we're used to seeing out of the Winnipeg Jets lineup. Any indication what that was like for Wheeler, and what do we expect tonight from Wheeler?
I expect we're going to see what he looks like rested for the first time this late in the season because he just, to your point, he just does not miss games. I mean, it was weird seeing him out of the lineup, because in my time covering the team, I'd only seen him miss two games, and those were games right at the end of the season that were throwaway games that didn't matter. So it was strange for him. It was clearly difficult. You know, I asked him about it and missing and watching the team and the fact that they did well without him. And he talked about how much he made it, or that how much easier that made it for him to sit out and get a rest, because he said he felt like he was letting the team down. And I mean, that's the kind of guy that he is. I mean, here he is. He's got a concussion. The team is doing well. They're in a playoff spot. And he's sitting at home worried that he's letting his team down because he's allowed himself to be injured and missed a stretch due to injury for the first time since, I mean, I think he'd missed six games before this since 2011 in Winnipeg. So, I mean, I know it was hard on him mentally to be missing out on that, but I will be, you know, one of the ones to say, like, I think we're seeing slightly, you know, age is catching up to Blake Wheeler. I don't think he was the 92-point player we saw a couple of years ago from him anymore. But, I mean, the fact that he's going to get a little bit of rest here right at this point where we're heading into the stretch drive where I think everyone's expecting things to really pick up in these last 10 games, I think it's probably going to serve him well down the stretch.
Andrew Kopp filled in for Blake Wheeler a little bit on the top line. Do you see him becoming a top six forward in the future?
Well, it's interesting. In my mind, and I couch it by saying, you know, that there's so much talent on this Jets team that you're going to get, you know, you can throw me out there and I'm probably going to get 15 points by the end of an 82-game season if you play me in the top six. You know, I'm probably going to allow, you know, 65 the other way. But, hey, let's not get into that. But I take a look at him, and I think he is already a top six player. He's shown that time and time again. I actually think the best line that I've seen from this team so far this season is Stastny, Ehlers, and Kopp. And he seems to have this really good defensive side to his game, but the instincts to get the puck to the guys in the you know, the Nick Ehlers of the world and allow them to kind of fly the zone really quickly, but still be able to get up ice and contribute and go to those hard areas and make things happen. I mean, I think that this is the kind of player that, you know, the Jets, they've got one more year with him after this year before he'd be an unrestricted free agent if they don't get something done with him. I expect he'll be a player that they will protect from Seattle. But I just take a look at him, and I think he's one of these players. Elliot Friedman had said he got a bunch of calls from GMs when Adam Lowry got locked up because they were upset that he wasn't going to market. Andrew Kopp, I see as being in that same vein with probably a little bit more offensive ability than Adam Lowry, and he does play center as well. So he's the kind of guy that I think is the next kind of player in that vein that if GMs are looking for a guy who, you know, has that compete level, is constantly trying to get better, has an all-around game, he's one of the guys that GMs should be looking for towards if he ever got to the point of unrestricted free agency after next season.
Sean, tell us about the Jets' D-core. It's always people like myself. That's where we get skeptical about this team. But tell us who you like more than the public does, where they're weak, what your thoughts are on the Jets' D.
Well, Neil Pionk has become a real surprise. And I think one of the things about the Jets last season is they got pushed around in the playoffs pretty severely by Calgary. And it's going to be interesting. I think one of the reasons that the Jets' D has maybe looked better than we expected them to be is because I don't think we're used to seeing them in the Central Division, right? And everyone knows the Central Division is a grind and it's hard hockey. And that's the kind of hockey that can kind of expose a light defense. This season, you know, when you're playing Toronto and you're playing Edmonton and teams like that, I don't think there's as much of that. So we haven't seen this Jets defense core tested by fire the way that we typically would see them in a regular season here. So in this environment, I think Neil Pionk has really showed really well. Even though he's a smaller guy, he seems to hit really hard. He knows how to throw his body around. He knows how to catch guys off guard. Derek Forbert has fit in a very specific role that they ask of him, and it seems to work. Josh Morrissey hasn't had his best season, but he seems to be emerging. He's a really, really good player. Dylan DeMello looks like he does a, a, a fairly good, well, I don't even want to say that. He's really good at alleviating the pressure, getting the puck out of his own zone. So they kind of have, each guy has a role, and they play that role really well. It's just, if a team is able to take them out of that role, how are they going to respond? And I think we've seen sometimes this season when a team is able to take them out of that role, they don't respond very well. That's going to be the big question. I still think it remains the big question going into the playoffs, is how that defense core is going to be able to respond when it gets tougher in the playoffs. And it's interesting. I take a look at a player like Nick Foligno, who's the Leafs picked up, and I think they picked him up specifically targeting the Winnipeg Jets. And I wonder how a player like him is going to play a role, you know, if a series does come between the Jets and the Leafs. I wonder how he's going to impact that defense, because I do think they've been a bend-and-not-break defense so far this year, but their ability to bend, I think, is limited.
Yeah, it looks like he plays with Matthews and Marner tonight. That's how they've configured the line at practice at the rink right now, where you are, as we can hear in the background. With Sean Reynolds. Sean, you mentioned the blue line here a couple of seconds ago. I believe we get a look at Jordy Benn tonight on the back end with Dylan DeMello. True or false?
Yes. He's going to draw into the lineup. And it's interesting because the Jets, 10 games left in the season. I always go back to the 2018 season where the Jets went to the conference finals, and they had their lineup set with about, you know, like with 14, 15 games left in the season. They were a very defined team. They knew exactly what they were, who was playing with who, and they went and just torched teams down the stretch and went hot into the playoffs. This is still a team that's really trying to kind of figure things out. I mean, Ben's going to come in for his first game tonight, and they still want to give Ville Heinola, one of their young prospects, a try specifically against this Leafs team. So, I mean, I'm thinking we could potentially see him in the lineup when these two teams meet on Saturday night. But there's still a lot of playing around going on with this lineup. We're going to see Blake Wheeler, Kyle Connor, and Mark Scheifele back together for the first time in a long time here tonight. So the line blender has been kind of constant, and there hasn't been as much on D. They're going to use this last 10 games to do that, though, which just, it's interesting because you're trying to find out what works, and they did talk about, you know, the expectation of potentially meeting this Leafs team. It's hard to gauge who the Leafs are going to be with Foligno coming in and with their goaltending changing as much as it has and the injuries that they've been dealing with. So the playoffs are going to be interesting because, you know, teams usually like to be very defined heading in there. And a team like the Leafs, a team like the Jets, don't seem to be as defined as we were expecting to see teams this close heading into the playoffs.
11 games remaining for the Winnipeg Jets, 10 games remaining for the Maple Leafs. They face off against each other this evening on Sportsnet. Sean, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks, as always, for stopping by. Enjoy the game tonight.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is. Sean Reynolds covers the Winnipeg Jets for Sportsnet. And a couple of things there. We'll get back into the Winnipeg Jets side of things in a second, but here's the lines at the skate today. So, as mentioned, Nick Foligno skates with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. Alexander Galchenyuk with John Tavares and William Nylander. Wayne Simmonds with Alex Kerfoot and Ilya Mikheyev. So he's back after missing a game. Joe Thornton with Adam Brooks and Jason Spezza. Your D pairs, Riley Brody, Muzzin Hall, Sandin with Travis Dermott's. Justin, anything out there, anything of those combinations, either up front or back end, jump out? You should mention as well Jack Campbell in the starter's net of practice.
Sorry, I didn't catch. Was Nick Foligno in tonight? Was he?
Oh, yeah, he's in there with Matthews and Marner.
Matthews and Marner right up top. Okay, that's all right. So, yeah, no, that, I mean, to me, it's like the second you get a couple of guys back, the depth sounds so much better. You know, Foligno being in basically replaces Hyman, but just getting Mikheyev back makes that third line seem so much better to me. You know, the third line, even the fourth line sounds a little bit better. So it's just depth, right? Like every team struggles when you lose a few guys, and having everyone back just makes such a big difference, particularly for a team that relies on offense like the Leafs. So a pretty sound lineup, I would say, for tonight.
Stewie, last word to you. Anything jump there for you?
Well, I'm very, very positive, but I'll take the negative approach right now. And Nick Robertson out of the lineup, right? So here's a young guy trying to gain his confidence, trying to get his footing in the league, and he's sort of now back back on the outside look again. So again, I know there was a lot of hype surrounding him last year, but it's tough. It's tough to break into this lineup, especially when you're fighting to win a Stanley Cup too. But really feeling for him and his development right now so far with the Leafs.
And there you go. That's the lineup tonight. You can watch this one on a special Thursday night edition of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Pregame gets underway at 6:30. Puck drops at Bell MTS Place just after 7. We'll step away and get on the Washington Capitals page here. General manager of the Caps, Brian McClellan. We'll talk about the Anthony Mantha deal, the rest of his lineup, and we'll probably park some time talking about you-know-who, Alex Ovechkin. All that plus plenty more as Hockey Central carries on. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the program here Monday to Friday, starting at noon. Jeff Merrick alongside Anthony Stewart and Justin Bourne. This is Hockey Central. Do we have Brian aboard? We got Brian McClellan aboard. He is the general manager of the Washington Capitals, who sit on the top spot with an identical record with the New York Islanders in the East Division. Brian McClellan joins us now. Brian, thanks so much for doing this. How are you today?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on.
The pleasure is ours. Mentioned off the top, identical record with the New York Islanders. 29 wins, 13 losses, 4 overtime, 62 points, .674 winning percentage. I am curious, though, how would you say this season has gone for your team based on whatever expectations you had at the beginning of it?
You know, I think probably like a lot of teams, we've been inconsistent. You know, I think the schedule, you know, players playing injured, all those things that factor in for all the teams. I think each team seems to have gone through some soft spots or areas where they haven't played up to par. And then we've been the same way. I mean, we've had a stretch at the beginning where I didn't think we were very good and got through it, and then we played a stretch of real good hockey, and then this month is we've been in and out, but we've been playing a lot of games, and the consistency just hasn't quite been there for us. So hopefully we can find it here at the end and finish strong and go into the playoffs in the right mode.
You guys traded for Anthony Mantha at the deadline, and how has he fit in with the group so far right now? Was there any pressure to make a deal just based on the Islanders and Boston and Pittsburgh division rivals making significant moves at the deadline?
Yeah, I don't think we felt pressure to make a deal because everybody was making deals. I mean, we felt pressure to try and improve, you know, what we perceived as a weakness in our team and try and find a good fit. You know, I thought, you know, we identified Mantha and we weren't sure he was available or not available, but we identified him as a great fit for our team. You know, we thought that he could come in and fit well with, you know, some of our skilled guys and, you know, make a major contribution. And so far it's worked out well. He's fit really well with Backstrom and Oshie. They seem to have a lot of elements that, you know, complement each other. And he provides a lot to that line. So I think we're happy with where we're at and the fit and what he's done so far.
I'm interested by the idea of, like, identifying a guy who's a great fit for you. Obviously, you guys have done that so well over the years. So is that a case of you actually not knowing a guy is available, just, like, looking around the league and saying, this is a guy we would want, and then reaching out and just say, hey, is this guy even on the market?
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, we started a little early. I mean, we were trying not avoid the rental market, but tried to identify a guy that fit the skill set that we thought we needed and, you know, made calls. And I mean, it was, you know, it took a while to get to the point where it happened, but we thought he was a good fit. And I mean, it's always a risk bringing a guy in. You're not sure he's a good fit. And, you know, time will tell here if it really has worked out as well as we think it would.
With Brian McClellan, general manager of the Washington Capitals. Not to compare you to the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I want to compare one thing. It's always been believed, and evidence shows this, that as long as the Penguins have Crosby and Malkin in the lineup, they are going for it. Like, that's it. We've got them in the lineup. We're going for the Stanley Cup. Do you feel the same way about your team vis-a-vis Alex Ovechkin? As long as Ovi's here, every year we're going for it.
Yeah, I do, Jeff. I think, we do the same with Ovi and Backstrom. I think, you know, I think it's our responsibility as ownership or as a management group to you know, make, we're going to try and go for it every year, try and do what's best. Things we have to maximize, in our mind, we have to maximize their careers and give them the best chance possible to win and be successful. So we do think that way too.
Do you think TJ Oshie's underrated? Again, I don't really think he's underrated. I played against him. He's a former teammate of my brother, but just he seems to just pick up his game as the season drags on into the playoffs. Do you think he gets enough respect throughout the league with what he brings to this Washington Capitals team offensively?
Yeah, I mean, we have so much respect for him. I mean, he drives the play when he plays. You know, he's a big motor on our team. He brings energy to the rink every day. He creates. He's good on the power play. He's a good penalty killer. I mean, he's just an all-around good player. I think he's a two-way player. He can play physical. He creates with his work ethic. He creates with his skill. We're fortunate to have him. He might be underrated around the league, but not within our organization.
You know, I look at your lineup and I can't help but wonder if you know, the combination of size and skill on guys like Tom Wilson, Alex Ovechkin, Oshie's a good one, you sought out Mantha. Is that something that you look for, when you're seeking players out? Is not just the size or not just the scoring, but the rare combination of players who have both?
Yeah, I believe in that. I think size and skill is how you win, especially in the playoffs. You can get bigger, but if you can't play the game, I don't think it contributes much to your lineup. I think I grew up, watching the Atlanta Flames and played a little bit in Calgary, and they were big, skilled teams. I think that's the path to a championship, especially in the playoffs.
With Brian McClellan, general manager of the Washington Capitals, I want to ask you about the draft, and maybe it's a maybe what I really want to ask is about scouting. And this is such a challenging year for scouts. It's going to be a very interesting draft. I don't know how teams are confident putting together lists, considering the scant number of games that many players have played. The Ontario Hockey League shut down their season, so Brant Clark, who's a defenseman with the Barrie Colts, did play a little bit overseas, but never saw OHL action. A lot of these kids will, of course, play in the U18s, but nonetheless, what does this do to players in the OHL specifically, in your estimation, at the draft? Like, how much lower does a kid from the OHL go down a list because the league was inactive this year?
I mean, it's hard to project. Jeff, I think, obviously there's less information out there this year. And with that breeds uncertainty. And I think there's probably possibilities to get better players late. And it might require a little luck or a little more information on somebody that somebody else doesn't have. I don't think the market is going to be as efficient. Well, I know it's not going to be as efficient that it has been in the past. So I think there's going to be a greater variance in the lists for teams and the possibility of missing and hitting in different areas within the draft. So I think it's going to be hard, but there's going to be some opportunities for your amateur guys to hit on some guys. So it could be a good thing.
How would you rate Vanacek's first rookie season for the team this year?
He's been good. I think he's surpassed expectations. He got put in a hard spot early, with Lundqvist not being able to come here. We had to rely on, and Samsonov's injury, we had to rely on him or put him in some tough situations, and he's been able to handle it. I give him a lot of credit for that. He's continually improved. He continually responds to to some games where it doesn't completely go his way, or, you know, maybe a bad goal or two, but he responds the next game. So that's a good sign for a young goalie. I think we've put both our goalies in a tough situation, and both have responded fairly well.
Is there any matchup? It looks like the four teams in the four teams in the East that are going to make the playoffs are more. They're not set, but they're getting pretty close here. Is there any matchup that you think is worse for you, better for you? Maybe you wouldn't be comfortable admitting that, or is it just like get in, you got to beat everyone anyway, type of thing?
Yeah, I think that's the way it is. I mean, I see the four teams as all pretty similar. You know, all play pretty tight, buttoned up game. You know, it's going to be hard to put, all the matchups are hard. I mean, we're so close on the standings right now. You don't know where you're going to be seated. Islanders play a well-structured game. Boston's really good in their own end. Pittsburgh plays a high-tempo game. I don't think there's a matchup that you can say, well, I rather prefer that matchup, but I think they're all going to be hard. And whoever comes out of this division is going to be playing some good hockey, or going to have to be playing some good hockey to get out.
Mm-hmm. I want to close on this one, Brian, and we thank you for your time. What has the Chara effect been for the Washington Capitals? I mean, that move surprised a lot of people. What's it been like for your organization having Chara?
Yeah, I think the presence has been huge. You know, the on-ice presence, the off-ice presence. He's got so much respect from our players. The things he does, I mean, he brings a level of professionalism that's great for even the older guys to see. That his standard of conditioning, preparation, game prep, you know, what he brings to the room when things aren't going right, it's you know, probably a little bit better than we even anticipated it would. And I think, you know, part of that was the big reason for us bringing him in. We believe that he could contribute that and could make our guys better in that way, and he has. And it's been a good match for both, I think.
Listen, your team, once again, is a lot of fun to watch. Good luck with whatever the last 10 games brings, and then good luck in the postseason. Brian, we always appreciate it when you come on.
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
There he is, Brian McClellan, general manager of the Washington Capitals. 62 points with 10 games remaining, and it is tight in the East. You have the Caps and the Islanders tied at 62 points. They've both played 46 games. Penguins have also played 46 games. They're 1 point back of those two. And then you have the Boston Bruins, who have only played 44. They're at 58 points, and they're on a five-game winning streak right now. And the freakiest thing about the East Division is the team with the best goal differential is not going to make the playoffs. And that's the New York Rangers at a plus 28.
Misleading stat. Come on. Misleading stat.
Is that a misleading stat, Justin Bourne?
They win goal a game 8-1. They take a nap for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it usually isn't a misleading stat, and over 82 games it's not. But yeah, you throw a couple of hurt and beatings, then they beat the Flyers 9-0 or something.
A couple of times they beat the brakes off the Flyers, and that fluffed the stats up a little bit. But it just looks so odd when you look at the standings. And I think it was up to like plus 33 at one point, maybe plus 32. And you just looked at it and you said, that team's in fifth? What? Yeah. They're the top team for goal differential, and they're on the outside looking in. But this is a division that's going to be good for a long time. Like, I don't know who the best team is here. I really don't. I can talk myself into any of the top four. Where are you guys at? Stewie, I'll start at your end. I don't know if the Islanders are better than Washington or better than the Penguins or better than the Bruins. I just flat out don't know.
I'm going to go with the Islanders just based on they have great team defense. They really park the bus. They don't give you anything offensively, and they have a two-headed monster in net in Varlamov and Sorokin. So they got that, and then you add in Barzal and Eberle and Bailey on the offense there. And just that system, they have the best buy-in for Barry Trotz's system. It has to be the Islanders in that division.
Yeah, and I'll go the other way and look at the other side. I feel like Boston is the weak link, and not just because of where they are in the standings, but just there's a lot of nights right now where you're like, I don't know. Doesn't quite look like the team of old, where, you know, with Krug and Chara and, you know, the perfection line clicking at the rate they you know, have become accustomed to seeing. So I do think that Boston, out of the four teams, is kind of a clear weak link, and I'm with Stewie. I do like the Islanders at the top of it all.
Do you not think that the that Taylor Hall is a shot in the arm there, though? Like, I know there are issues on the back end,
yep,
clearly, but has Hall been a shot in the arm for this team?
Yeah, no, that's going to help. And maybe we should give that some more run before I definitively state them as the weak link. But I do think that that's going to help. It was a position of real need for them. And if he really gets going at the clip we know he's capable of, that would definitely change the tune of a lot of us.
You know what's interesting about the Caps, too, and we didn't get a chance to mention this with McClellan. Stu, you mentioned the Anthony Mantha trade very quietly. And again, it's sometimes it's just those depth trades you make it at deadline. Picking up Michael Raffle, who's one of the more versatile players in that division, picking him up from Philadelphia, will play up and down the lineup, can play any of the positions, any of the forward positions, that is. Says he feels most comfortable on the left side, but can also play center, can play on his off wing as well. Like, Stu, you've seen this before. Sometimes that guy that you pick up is just a depth signing on trade deadline or a depth move on trade deadline.
Yeah, and I've been watching a lot of
the headline, but you know, Raffle could really help here.
Yeah, and he looks like he's playing with Lars Eller and Connor Sheary, and I've been watching a lot of their games lately, and Connor Sheary's been stepping up. I think he's got 4 goals his last 5 games. He's stepping up too, and it's your bottom depth guys that help get you through. There's guys that get you to the playoffs. There's other guys that get you through. Raffle's one of those guys too. But I thought you were going to point out the fact that in McClellan's last year with the Detroit Red Wings, you know who his teammate was, and they just recently made a trade together. Stevie Yzerman.
Steve Yzerman. And he grew up playing hockey with George McPhee. So there will be a battery then between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Washington Capitals as well.
Connect the dots.
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting about Brian McClellan, though? Like, there are some teams where you can tell the general manager is really only comfortable doing business with other teams. And I get that. Like, making trades is essentially a business relationship, and those relationships are developed over years and years and years. So there, sometimes you say to yourself, well, how come, you know, this team only deals with Columbus? How come that team only deals with Anaheim? How come that team only deals with LA? And that's because that's where the trust factor is, and those are the relationships that have been created. Brian McClellan deals with everybody. Like, if you go and you look at the history of his deals, he deals with every team. Like, he's not one of those guys that only has his handful of GMs. He goes everywhere. It really is interesting.
That's how you end up the guy who gets Anthony Mantha. Like, after the Mantha deal, you know, there was anonymous GMs with quotes like, I wish they had let us in on that. And it's like, well, if you're someone like Brian McClellan, who everyone likes and talks to everyone, has relationships with everyone, you know, they don't forget to tell you these sort of things. You're the first to know. So it's a testament to, you know, the job that he's done and the man he is that everyone wants to deal with him.
Okay, on that we'll step away. We thank Brian McClellan for stopping by the show today and the Capitals for making him available. So a double thank you there. We'll hit a break, come back, and get you all set once again for the Winnipeg Jets as they face off against the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern from Bell MTS Place in Winnipeg. Pre-game at 6:30, puck drops just after 7. Hockey Central continues. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're back in a moment. Welcome back to the program. A couple of moments left here to catch you up on tonight. Nick Foligno makes his debut for the Toronto Maple Leafs on the line with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, alongside Anthony Stewart and Justin Bourne, Jeff Merrick here. Alexander Galchenyuk with John Tavares and William Nylander. Simmons, Kerfoot, Mikheyev, so he's back. Thornton, Brooks, and Spezza on the fourth line. Sandin is back in. He'll play third pairing with Travis Dermott with Zach Bogosian's injury. What do we make of this for tonight, and what are the expectations? Justin, the Maple Leafs have lost 5 games in a row. The Winnipeg Jets have won 5 of their last 7, haven't played since Saturday, a shutout loss at the hands of the Edmonton Oilers. So they are rested. They're bringing Blake Wheeler back tonight after missing 6 games with concussion-like symptoms. What do you look for this evening?
Well, I think it's important that Nick Foligno doesn't feel like he has to be Zach Hyman. You know, Zach Hyman is scoring at a 30-goal clip this season for the Toronto Maple Leafs on that top line and playing 20-some minutes. And, you know, he's got to get his feet wet with the team here, and you want to see him work hard, forecheck hard, but keep expectations fairly low. For the team, it's just playing the same game they played against Vancouver and not lacking confidence and pressing. You know, you play like that most of the time, you're not going to get out-goaltended every single game. I guess the big thing then is you just need a goaltending performance from Jack Campbell.
Stewie?
Yeah, the Leafs got out-goalied the last couple of games against Vancouver, and now they're running into Connor Hellebuyck, who's equally not as hot, but he's a great goaltender as well. So for the Leafs, I think tonight's going to be discipline right now. They got to stay out of the box. This Winnipeg Jets power play is deadly, fourth in the league, and their penalty kill as well is 12th in the league. So they got to find a way to start now winning this special teams battle, because as you get down, as the season winds down and you get into the playoffs, the special team battle becomes very, very crucial.
It sure does. I mentioned Blake Wheeler is back with the Winnipeg Jets this evening, so he's reunited with Scheifele and Connor. Oh, that's a devastating line. Pierre-Luc Dubois will then center Nick Ehlers and Paul Stastny. So we've talked about this before as we go off the air here and give way to Smith and Jones. They've got a top six. Hey, listen, you throw Lowry's line in, you say they got a top nine that can rival just about any top nine in the NHL. Justin Bourne. Do you expect fireworks this evening between these two?
The Leafs got to clamp it down defensively, and the Jets have had a hell of a good net. I expect good hockey, but I'm not predicting a ton of goals tonight.
We're going OT. We're going overtime.
I like it.
Oh, boy. Okay, there you go. Tonight, Hockey Central on the air at 6:30 Eastern. Just after 7 o'clock, the puck drops at Bell MTS Place. It is the Winnipeg Jets and the Toronto Maple Leafs. 4 points separating these teams for tops in the division. 10 games left for the Maple Leafs regular season. We're back tomorrow.